Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you make yourself known to us in your Son. And we pray that as we turn to your word about him this morning, you would give us hearts that are open to you, that we might see him more clearly. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, there can be little question that one of the human faculties we value most is our sight. What we're able to see shapes our understanding of the world around us, and it gives us the ability to avoid danger and brings us great pleasure as we observe the beauty of the created world. Those without sight often do their best to make the most of life, but it's obvious that anyone would do all that they possibly can to preserve and benefit from being able to see, if they're at all able. And yet, it is possible to have perfect eyesight, but to be blind to what is most important in life. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been considering the miraculous signs that Jesus performed, as they're recorded in John's Gospel. And these signs are pointers to who Jesus is in his glory. Now, this morning, we're looking at the sixth of seven signs, and we find there that there is a form of blindness that is far worse than physical blindness, and a form of vision that is far better than being able to see. So do turn, if you haven't done already, to John chapter 9. It's page 1079 in those black church Bibles, 1079, John chapter 9, and we discover firstly Jesus, the light of the world, can give spiritual sight. Now, last week, if you were here, you might remember that we considered Jesus' fifth sign. That was him walking on the water and calming the storm on Lake Galilee. Jesus there is revealed as the divine man, the God-man, who has power over nature. Well, after he performed that miraculous sign, Jesus returned to Jerusalem. And as he walks down a city street, he meets a man who was blind from birth. Now, you'll remember what happened. We've just had it read. And John described it in careful detail. Jesus puts an ointment made of mud and saliva on the man's eyes and told him to go and wash in the nearby pool. Now, it's not clear why Jesus went through that procedure. On other occasions, he merely speaks to a person and brings about healing as a result. But what is important is that the man did as Jesus told him, and that because of Jesus, he returned able to see. So here we have a congenitally blind man, now in his adulthood, able to see with his own eyes for the very first time. Well, just before Jesus performs this sign, he points us to its meaning. So he leaves us in no doubt as to the significance of the sign. Verse 4, Jesus says, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." In other words, Jesus is on a mission from God, and opportunities to serve him must be taken whilst they are available. And then he continues, verse 5, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, Jesus here repeats his great statement made in the previous chapter, chapter 8, verse 12, where he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, this great claim, not just to be a source of spiritual light amongst many others, but the light, and indeed the light of the world, was made at the dramatic Feast of Tabernacles, which was still going on in the background when Jesus encountered this blind man. At the end of the first day of the festival, huge golden lampstands were lit and the light flooded the streets and the squares of the city. And this enabled singing and celebrations to continue even though darkness had fallen. Well, imagine the scene. Jesus stands up as the people have been reveling in the light, flooding Jerusalem, and he says, "I am the light of the world." I am the one who can show you what is most important in life. I am the one who can help you to see the truth of God. Whoever you are, whatever your background, your culture, or your heritage, I am the light of the world to you. And if you follow me, you will escape spiritual darkness and instead will have the light of life in partnership with God the Father forever. Well, this claim, which is of cosmic significance, is on Jesus' lips as he restores the sight of the man born blind. So in this sixth sign, Jesus is illustrating this great truth. Whilst the physical ability to receive light on the retina and have our brains interpret the stimulus so that we can see is a wonderful thing, there's something even more important, and that is to be able to see spiritually, to understand ourselves as we are, and more importantly still, to understand something of the truth of God and be drawn into a relationship with him and an adventure of living for him through his Son. Now, in performing the sign in the way that he does, Jesus is yet again showing his credentials as the Messiah or the Christ. Do you remember that Old Testament reading that we had where the prophet Isaiah records God's message to the hoped-for servant Messiah and says this, "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant to the people a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind." So here we have 700 years later, these words being fulfilled and being illustrated as Jesus opens the eyes of this blind man in Jerusalem. Now this sign that Jesus performs is also an example of God's work in human lives. The blind man in the incident was unable to help himself. Remember, he's reduced to begging. He was in great need and he knew it. Well, so we human beings are naturally spiritually blind people. It may be hard for us to take that truth, but it is reality according to Jesus and the Bible. We cannot give ourselves sight. We might try to do things that we think will give us some sort of spiritual insight, but unless God opens our eyes, we shall not be able to see. We're dependent on the undeserved favour of God towards us. And that means that if God has given us grace to respond to Jesus, if he has given us spiritual sight through Jesus, well then we can have absolutely no grounds for pride, rather only humble gratitude for his kindness. And then also a great incentive to serve Christ in response to such a great and kind God and his love towards us. Well, after Jesus restored the man's sight, just a little bit after what we read, we read these words in verse 35. Jesus heard that the people had cast him out, the once blind man, and found him and said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. So you see, we see here that just as Jesus brought physical sight to this man, he believed in Jesus and so received spiritual sight. But as we read through this account, we also see that not everyone receives the benefits of Jesus' offer of spiritual sight. In fact, some refuse Jesus, the light of the world, and instead face the darkness of judgment. Now, this time of the year is generally warm, and we're usually grateful for that. But if you can for a moment, imagine a winter's day, and the air temperature is cold, and yet the sun is shining. Now, when you are out going for a walk, and you feel the direct sun on you, you can tell that it's there, there's heat on your back. But if you walk into the shadow of a building or some other structure, the light may be available elsewhere, but you're in the shade. An obstacle blocks the light from shining on you. Well, we've seen here that the light of Jesus, the light of the world, illuminates some people as they believe in him. But sadly, with others, obstacles block the light. They're in shadow and therefore fail to receive the benefits of the light. I wonder if you picked up the telling contrast that there is between this once blind man and pretty much all the other characters in the story. The man born physically blind had his sight restored and at the same time believed in Jesus, receiving spiritual sight. The others had good physical sight, as far as we know, but they were spiritually blind. Now, reading this account is like some sort of intense police investigation. The once blind man, now healed, is subjected to a series of pointed interviews. So firstly, some of the locals who knew him check him out. And we read verse 8, the neighbours and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it's he. Others said, no, but he's like him. And he kept saying, I am the man. So here are these neighbours, they have him in front of them, but they can't even agree it's him. Despite the evidence, they show that they are blind. And then the Pharisees get involved. Verse 18, some of the Pharisees said, this man, Jesus, is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Shockingly, these strictly religious men are so bogged down in their man-made traditions that they show that they are in fact spiritually blind. All they're concerned about strict rules of what can and can't be done on the Sabbath. They weren't taken from the Bible, from the Old Testament. No, they were added extras that had been invented. Despite all their advantages and what they see with their eyes, they are blinded to Jesus' reality. And they're blinded by their human traditions. And then we meet the man's parents. They're asked by the locals to verify that it really is their son whose sight has been restored. But they're so fearful of the threat of sanctions that might be imposed on them that they fail to stand up for their son. Verse 22, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. So here we have even his parents who are blind to reality. And then we read of yet more interrogation by the religious leaders. And again we see the spiritual blindness in contrast to the man's spiritual sight. Verse 24, so for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. In other words, own up to the truth. We know that this man Jesus is a sinner. And he answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. You see, there's much blindness around this now seeing and insightful man. Despite the evidence of their physical eyes, they cannot see the spiritual significance of Jesus. And we see just the same thing today, don't we? Sometimes people don't believe in Jesus, not for lack of evidence, not because they've not heard a coherent explanation or seen credible Christian witness in the lives of family or friends. No, there's something much deeper going on. Like the locals who knew the former blind man, prejudice is put before facts. Even the very strong basis for the historical Christian faith is ignored because people have already decided they don't like it. The implications, they're just too challenging. As Jesus says back in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, the light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light. They hate the light and do not come to the light because their deeds will be exposed. But we see it in what you might call religious circles as well. People can be associated with church, be members of religious organizations, hold offices in the church, even be ordained ministers, but still be spiritually blind to the reality and the priorities of Jesus. You know, the Pharisees, when we read of them, should be a continual warning to those of us who are known as religious people. They looked good. They were generally highly regarded. They could use all the spiritual and religious words. But when it came to what was most important, they couldn't see it. They just didn't get it. They were blind. And their blindness seems to have been bound up in their self-righteousness. They were proud of their achievements, their religious activities, their positions, their status. They thought God owed them something. So when Jesus came, speaking of their need for God's grace through him, they were offended. How dare he? Why does he keep speaking about sin? Just think what I've done for God. God helps those who help themselves, you know, and I deserve God's attention. They were blind to reality about themselves and their own sinfulness before a holy and pure God. They couldn't see the importance of the way that God had provided for them to be forgiven through Jesus, the light of the world, the one who would later go on to lay down his life on behalf of those who would see their need of him. So it is very sobering that it was the religious people who didn't see, but the social and religious outcast, the disabled blind beggar, who does see and who is found by Jesus, the light of the world. And so Jesus sums up the whole episode with the blind man and the reaction of others. Again, just a little bit beyond what we read in the lesson, verse 39. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." See, Jesus made it very clear in John's gospel throughout that he has come primarily to bring rescue, to give forgiveness and life for those who know that they are sinful and need God's grace. But the reality is that Jesus' coming brings, yes, salvation, but also judgment. The light of the world shines in the darkness. Those who welcome it are brought into the light of life with God now and forever. But those who refuse it find themselves in deeper darkness. "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." I heard recently of an older lady who was anticipating risky and delicate eye surgery on her rapidly failing eyesight. She was asked if she was afraid of the operation, and her reply was honest: "Yes, but you don't say no to sight." Well, in God's word this morning, we encounter Jesus, the light of the world, the one who shows in this sixth sign that he is the one who can give spiritual sight. Sight that enables us to see ourselves correctly and to see God and his grace and love. So can I ask, are you still facing a choice with Jesus? And if you are, will you say yes or no to sight through him? And if you have made the choice for light and spiritual sight, will you also recognize that despite everything, some refuse Jesus the light and instead face the darkness of judgment? And so will you plead with God that he gives that light to others? And will you seek to live with Jesus, the light of the world? Because whoever relies on him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the light of the world. We thank you for your word that shows us so clearly who he is. We pray that you would give to us open hearts. We pray you'd shine your light into our lives. Father, we pray for any here this morning who are yet to open their hearts to Jesus and to believe in him like the blind man did. We pray for your grace, that you would open hearts and give grace to see need and all that Jesus has made possible. And for others, Father, we pray that you would give us the grace that we need to live for Jesus, the light of the world, and to show that light to others around us, that he would be glorified. And we ask for his sake. Amen.